Hallmark Channel presents Crown Media Productions. A seaplane flies over a coastline. Text, Hallmark Hall of Fame presents Love Takes Flight, Nikki Deutsch, Jeff Hepner. The plane glides over the rooftops of a coastal town, then flies over an inlet. Traffic moves over a tall bridge that spans the Savannah River. Text, with Barbara Niven. Casting by Penny Perry, music by Matthew Rogers. The plane tilts and swoops closer to the land. A young girl skips and holds her mom's hand in a parking lot. She points to the sky.
Look, Mom, it's a plane!
Oh yeah, it is a plane.
What are those things on the bottom?
So it could land on water.
Like a duck?
Yeah, like a duck. Wait, can you hear that? It's quacking.
They skip toward a store. Sign, Lucky's Market. With a child in the cart, they careen down a cereal aisle. The girl lifts her arms.
Do it again!
Oh, wow. You are such an adrenaline junkie. I'm gonna have to keep my eye on you.
A man with silver hair reaches for a box of cereal.
Hello, old person.
The man tilts his head.
Quinn, sweetie, you can't say that. I'm so sorry.
I don't know. It's okay. I am old.
He steps closer.
And how do you do, ma'am?
How do I do what?
He means how are you?
Me and my mom are shopping for cereal.
Isn't that funny? I am too.
What's your favorite kind?
Oatmeal. Not as colorful as some, but I enjoy it. What's your favorite kind?
I can't have it with my favorites.
Oh, surely you must get a treat every once in a while.
Oh, we wish we could, right? Yeah.
Well, maybe you should try oatmeal.
Is it good?
It's good for you.
Can we get oatmeal?
You might be the first 5-year-old in history to ask that.
Well, it's been a pleasure meeting you ladies. Walter.
My name's Quinn, and this is my mom.
Lizzie.
Pleasure. Hope she comes out of her shell one day.
Tell me about it. We'll have a nice day.
You too.
Walter turns and goes. Lizzie leans toward Quinn.
Are you ready for takeoff?
Walter stops to watch them race away and smiles. Blue skies hang over the downtown of a coastal town. An ambulance stops at a hospital. A woman places her hand to an EMT's forehead.
You feel normal.
He grins.
Yeah, my mother always told me I was special.
You drive ambulances for a living. You couldn't find a thermometer.
Wouldn't miss a chance to see you.
She pulls away.
Lizzie has a strict rule about mixing work and her personal life. I'm still new. Let me ease her into the idea of me dating someone from the hospital.
She looks up into his eyes and he smiles. A man wearing a leather jacket looks around and removes his sunglasses as he approaches them.
Excuse me. Hi. You work here, right?
Last I checked. How can I help you?
I'm Charlie Allen. I hear you needed an EMS pilot.
Oh, right. The interview. I'm Felicia Page, deputy administrator.
Hi.
This is Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Your interview's not till 9:30.
Well, you know, early birds and all of that.
Right. Well, Lizzie Bowman's our COO, and she'll be conducting your interview, but I don't think she'll be able to get to you before then.
I can keep myself busy. If you're looking for me, I'll be up on the helipad.
Wait, you can't just go...
I'm sure I'll find it. Upstairs till I see the sky, right?
They exchange puzzled glances as he walks away. Sign, daycare.
Remember, we have piano practice at Nana's this afternoon, okay?
Okay.
Turn, please. All right.
She checks her glucose monitor.
Okay, there you go.
She smiles at Quinn.
I love you so much.
Love you too.
Lizzie shuts her eyes and squeezes her.
Bye, sweetie.
Sign, administrator.
Dr. Kapoor is back from vacation today.
Great. What else?
Dr. Stadler called. St. Carmen's is in the running. Her patient's in Georgia and she doesn't want to risk too much travel.
Oh, see if she can have lunch.
Already booked. Monday at Collins Quarter.
Look at you.
A patient asked for a consult in the OB wing.
Felicia.
I know you're staying out of patient care, but they asked for you specifically.
Fine. Oh, there was something else. The interview for the new EMS pilot.
Oh, yeah, I met him earlier.
He's here? His interview's not until 9:30.
I know. He seems very eager. He said he'd be waiting for you on the helipad.
Well, he's not supposed to be up there.
Oh, I would have tried to stop him, but there's no way he's getting past Marcus.
Good point.
I went over his resume this morning. He's the best candidate we've had by miles.
Well, he'll have every opportunity to impress at 9:30.
Felicia smiles. Lizzie enters an exam room.
Good morning, miss.
Hey, sis.
What are you doing here?
I wanted to see a doctor.
You have a doctor.
Fine, I wanted to see you.
And I want you to have the best care possible, which is why I referred you to Dr. Crawford.
Dr. Crawford's not my sister.
Lizzie takes a seat.
Okay. Is everything okay?
Oh, yeah.
Are you feeling fine?
No, it's nothing like that. I'm due in 10 days, and I was hoping you could say something to just make me, I don't know, less scared.
It is perfectly normal to feel scared. We all do.
Okay, good.
Okay. When this gets going, feel free to, you know, take your husband's hand and squeeze it as hard as possible because it is our right as mothers.
Thank you.
They hug.
Yep. And just because I'm not going to be your doctor doesn't mean I'm not going to be there every step of the way. You are in great hands. Dr. Crawford is the best.
Right.
Her sister frowns and lowers her gaze. Charlie talks to a man next to an air care helicopter.
Well, that actually happened, okay?
Really? Yeah. I mean, because this isn't much pad for a chopper that size.
Well, you need help bringing it down, let me know. I don't mind.
Come on, you throw down a postage stamp, find a way to land it.
Charles Allen?
He turns to Lizzie.
Yeah. You can call me Charlie, though.
She nods and looks toward Marcus.
It was nice meeting you, man.
Marcus, it was great talking to you, and I hope I can trust you as a flight controller a lot more than I can trust these stories you're throwing around.
You should be so lucky. I like this guy.
He seems very qualified.
Yeah, that too.
Marcus goes and she looks at Charlie and frowns.
Looking good?
He turns around.
What?
Helicopter.
Oh. Yeah, propellers look good, struts are steady, dials are clean.
Great. Glad it's up to your standards. Why don't we head downstairs and conduct the interview?
Why don't we do the interview up here? Enjoy some sunshine.
I think it would be more professional in my office.
Oh, come on. Everybody could use a little more fresh air.
I don't like heights.
Okay. Well, in that case, why don't you just hire me? We can skip this whole interview thing altogether.
I can't hire you without doing an interview.
Well, I was kidding, though. I don't know what an interview tells you about how I can fly.
Questions are mostly routine.
I'm not big on routine.
It's a hospital. Routine saves lives.
People save lives. Routine saves lawsuits.
She studies him, smirks, then extends her hand.
It's nice meeting you, Mr. Allen.
He frowns as he watches her go.
Wait.
She turns around. He tilts his head.
Are you serious?
She stares.
I promise you, a better pilot will not walk through that door.
She frowns and walks away. Charlie looks up and grimaces. Then he shakes his head. Lizzie runs on a park path lined with trees.
He's a cowboy. A hospital is no place for a cowboy.
He has tons of experience, all his certifications. He even flew 2 tours in Iraq.
He's military?
If we want Dr. Stadler to choose St. Carmen's for her procedure, we have to have a pilot, even if it's just for the next few weeks.
Fine. Bring him in for an interview. Maybe he'll make a better second impression.
Felicia smiles as they continue their run. People walk in the hospital entrance. Quinn sits coloring in the daycare as Lizzie approaches. Quinn jumps into her arms. Lizzie sees Quinn's coloring project, mission, find a friend.
Do you have a good day?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why don't you get your backpack? We're going to be late for Nana's.
Okay.
She watches with concern as Quinn goes. Quinn races up a long flight of stone steps and runs in a front door with Lizzie behind her.
Yeah!
Quinny! Ah, hello!
My little prize student.
So, have you been practicing?
Mm-hmm.
Good. You go get warmed up and I'll be right there, okay?
Hey, Mom.
Quinn sits at a piano.
Quinn, you're just getting better and better. I can't wait for our recital in a couple weeks. Our duet's gonna steal the show.
How do you feel about sharing your spotlight?
Dear, well, if one must pass the torch, at least it'd be to my own granddaughter.
Lizzie's brow furrows as she watches her play.
Everything okay?
Have you heard anything about Quinn having trouble making friends?
Quinn?
Yeah.
No, I can't imagine that.
I know, but... Well, she was working on this thing, a little book, and on the cover she wrote, Mission, Find a Friend.
If you want, I'll do a little fishing.
No, I don't think I was supposed to know about it. I've been working so many hours, and
Don't even start. You are a terrific mother. And don't feel bad about being a little snoopy either, because that's what me mothers do.
Okay, good to know.
Yes, it is.
Lizzie crosses her arms and grins. A porch light shines at a cozy bungalow. Lizzie adjusts Quinn's blanket.
All right.
Let me tuck you in. Yes. I love you very, very much. Good night.
She kisses her forehead. Quinn smiles and closes her eyes. She gazes at Quinn as she turns out the light. Diners sit outside on a sunny morning. Sign, coffee, tea, cafe.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can I get a coffee, black?
Of course. And for you, young lady?
I'll have chocolate milk, black.
You got it.
Thank you.
Quinn smiles at Lizzie. They carry their drinks outside.
How's your chocolate milk?
It's yummy.
All right. Want to trade?
No.
Can I have a sip?
No.
Let's see here.
A man notices them.
All right. How's it? Too hot? Good.
Hello, young person.
Walter! Mom, look, it's Walter!
It is. Hi. Good morning.
It's me, Quinn.
How could I forget?
Me and my mom just got coffee.
You're drinking coffee?
Well, it's chocolate milk. But I could drink coffee. Nana says I'm mature for my age.
Without a doubt.
He glances at Lizzie, who smiles.
Elizabeth, wasn't it?
Lizzie, we've come here all the time. I'm surprised we've never seen you.
I'm trying to get out of the house more. I thought I could improve my mood by reading my newspaper around people.
How's that working?
Nice. Nice seeing people drink their first cup of coffee, gathering their strength for another day.
We like to read, too. Last night, Mom read me the one about the prince and the guy who makes shoes.
The Prince and the Cobbler.
You've read it?
My wife, she read it to my son when he was your age. It's a wonderful tale about finding friends in the most unlikely places. In my experience, they're the best kinds of friends.
What kind of coffee did you get?
Actually, it's tea.
We should have a tea party. Can you please?
Since when do you drink tea?
I love tea.
You do?
Really, you don't feel like you have to?
No. I mean, first the cereal aisle, and now, of all the sleepy cafes I could have chosen, it almost feels like fate. If you would do me the honor, I would love to host you at my house on Saturday for tea.
Yay! You can come too, Mom.
Oh, well, you're five, so yes, I think I'll be coming too.
All right, then. It's a date.
Quinn takes a drink and smiles. St. Carmen's.
First off, let me apologize for yesterday.
If I were upset, you wouldn't be here.
He smirks.
You move around a lot.
I am a pilot.
Got most of your experience overseas.
Do you mind if we pick up after that part?
She holds his gaze and nods her head.
Of course.
She looks at his resume.
So after you got back, you flew in Vegas. 4 jobs in 8 months.
I'm sure if you call, they will all sing my praises.
I did call them, and they did all sing your praises. Why so much bouncing around?
I don't know. Rolling Stone gathers no moss, right?
You know, that's an argument against Rolling Stones.
Really? Who wants to be covered in moss? It wasn't that I wasn't committed. It's just things out there work better short term.
Lizzie nods her head.
How did you end up in Savannah?
I grew up here. I got back about 4 months ago. Not sure how long I'll be here, but while I'm around, I thought I'd make myself useful.
So you're not settled here, then?
What do you mean by settled?
Long term.
Maybe not. But I learned the hard way that it's what you do today that's more important than what you're gonna do tomorrow. So if you hire me today, I'll make a difference.
Felicia smiles and looks at Lizzie. Lizzie stares at him and smirks. She returns to his resume. She nods her head.
Okay.
She looks up at him.
We'll bring you on for a 2-week probationary period. No reason for either of us to commit if it's not a good fit. Long term.
He purses his lips and nods.
Thank you.
Lizzie later stands in her kitchen holding a phone.
Hey, this is Luke. Leave a message.
Hey, Luke. It's Lizzie. I just wanted you to know that Quinn is having her first piano recital on Mother's Day. So if you were thinking of getting me anything, I know you're busy, but it would mean a lot to her if you would come. So let me know. Okay. Bye.
Quinn steps in with some toys.
Hi there. What's in the bag?
They want me to come to the tea party.
Well, of course. Let's go.
They head for the door. Lizzie drives to a manor-like home on the water. Walter approaches as she helps Gwen from the car.
Okay, yay! There he is.
Welcome, ladies. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Gwen. You're looking lovely.
Thank you. I'm
gonna step right this way.
He gestures to the water.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
Why can't our house have a lake?
Ah.
Good question.
A unicorn sits next to a bear.
And here you are, Mr. Oh, sorry. What's his name?
Barry.
Barry? Went to school with a Clyde Barry, ancestor of yours?
He talks to the bear.
Your uncle? Really? Well, how is the old card?
Should I tell him Barry's not real? A piano!
She races to a piano in an adjoining room.
Oh, hey, sweetie, you have to ask permission.
No, it's all right.
Walter fidgets.
Those kids could use a little exercise.
Lizzie studies him as Quinn sits down. Walter and Lizzie join her. Lizzie claps and he smiles.
Very good.
Me and Nan are doing a recital on Mother's Day.
Wonderful. What are you playing?
Heart and Soul. Have you heard of it?
It's one of my favorites.
Nan is playing the hard part. I'm just playing the easy part. Would you like to help me practice?
Well, I'm a little rusty, but I'd love to hear you play.
She looks out the window.
What's that?
Look, Mom, it's a duckling.
It is.
Walter looks out.
Well, that's my son.
The seaplane lands.
See?
Oh, Quinn, wait!
They follow her.
Quinn, wait up!
Charlie steps onto the dock. He grins and tilts his head at Lizzie.
Wait, is that?
Hey, boss!
She waves slowly.
Hi!
Walter and Lizzie exchange a look. She crosses her arms and shakes her head as Charlie approaches. Walter, Lizzie, and Quinn follow Charlie onto the wide front porch. He sees the table set with teacups and plush toys. He looks from the table to Walter, who glances away.
Seems like I missed a real shindig.
Quinn smiles.
We had a tea party.
A tea party? Wow, what'd you talk about?
This and that.
This and that. Well, you've been more than generous.
Walter frowns and looks away while Lizzie studies them with wide eyes.
Unfortunately, we have to go.
Oh, I hope not on my account.
She tilts her head.
Why don't you thank Walter for having us over?
Thank you, Walter. Well,
the pleasure was all mine, m'lady.
Next time you can come to our house.
I wait with bated breath.
Thank you again for having us over. We're just gonna grab our things.
Take your time.
Okay.
She nods at Charlie.
See you at the hospital.
Yep.
Walter looks at him questioningly. Charlie shifts his gaze.
Yeah.
Lizzie watches as the men walk into the house, then she takes Gwen's hand. The sun sets over the water. A photo of Charlie, Walter, and an older woman sits on a table while a record spins. Walter sits in a chair reading when Charlie enters the room holding a stack of papers.
Hey, Dad. Some stuff you need to say.
He keeps his eyes on the book.
I'll update your car insurance.
I don't drive much anymore.
Yeah, still need insurance. Why don't we just sell the car? We're not selling the car, Dad. How else would you get around?
She did all the driving, you know.
I know. Took a couple of jokes for it, but she always was the better driver.
Charlie sits on the sofa. He taps the pen on his hand.
Have you eaten anything since your tea party today?
Not feeling very hungry.
I can make you something.
Walter avoids his gaze. Charlie looks away.
Come on, Dad. A few hours ago, you're out there playing Downton Abbey with a bunch of stuffed unicorns.
You told me to be more sociable.
Please help me understand. Why will you talk to them but not me?
Walter opens his mouth, looks away.
There's nothing to understand.
He returns to his book and Charlie frowns.
My mistake.
Walter looks up as Charlie leaves. The water glimmers in the sunlight as Charlie strolls onto the dock and gets in his plane. He glances at his overhead visor and folds it down. He smiles at a family photo that matches the one in the house. Lights shine on Walter's porch. Charlie walks in and finds him sitting at the piano shuffling through sheet music. He pauses in the hallway and watches his dad. Walter cracks his knuckles. Charlie furrows his brow as he sees Walter flex his fingers and stare at the music. Walter lowers his shaking hands, then he stares at a photo on the shelf of him smiling with the older women in the family photo. Her hand rests on his shoulder. His jaw tightens and he looks down. He gently lowers the cover over the piano keys. Charlie frowns and steps away. The sun shines through trees in the park. Lizzie strolls past a fountain carrying coffee and a folder as Charlie jogs to catch up.
Hey. Hey, boss. Hey, I want to talk to you about the other day.
Well, you weren't exactly welcoming.
Well, I may have misread the situation.
It was a little girl's tea party. What was there to misread?
It's complicated, but what do you say? You and I bury the hatchet, and we arrange Walter and Quinn another play date.
I say it's best to keep our relationship professional. Thank you.
All right. Listen, I was a little bit of a jerk.
Good. We both agree. Now, this is when you tell me why.
He looks away.
My mom passed last year, and things with my dad and I have not been easy. So...
I'm really sorry.
When I saw him with Quinn... Just a second. You know, I saw the old Walter, and... This is going to sound ridiculous. But I was jealous.
She smiles.
If it helps, Quinn is a very good share.
Good.
He looks into her eyes.
I gotta tell you, when you guys left the other day, my dad went and sat at the piano. He used to play for my mom all the time. But he doesn't do that anymore.
So he hasn't played since your mom...
No, he hasn't touched it.
Oh, man. Quinn is taking lessons from my mom, and she saw the piano and got excited, and I'm so sorry if it made him feel uncomfortable in any way.
No. The opposite. I think Quinn had some effect on him.
He holds her gaze, then tilts his head.
So I saw a book that Quinn was making in daycare. Mission Find a Friend.
Charlie grimaces.
Yeah, I know. I didn't read it, but whatever her mission is, I think your dad has something to do with it.
So
I will talk to Quinn. And we'll figure it out.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, well, it sounds like they both could use a friend.
He looks at her.
Can't we all?
She smiles and raises her coffee cup.
See you later.
He crosses his arms and watches her go. Lizzie sits in a cafe.
As you will see on the dossier, St. Carmen's has up-to-date facilities.
You have a pilot?
Yes, we have an EMS pilot on staff. He has all of his certifications.
He has experience flying tissue for transplants.
He worked overseas. So, I mean, I'm...
Dr. Bowman, I have no doubt that you have a lovely hospital. But for my procedure, I don't need up-to-date and amazing. I need cutting-edge and perfect.
Lizzie nods her head.
Well, it's very nice meeting you. When I make my decision, I'll let you know.
Dr. Sadler... Please.
Dr. Stadler returns to her seat.
There may be other hospitals with more advanced procedures, bigger research grants. But I know that we have 42 doctors, 98 nurses, 13 lab techs, 6 custodians, and yes, one very well qualified pilot who will bend time itself to make sure that your procedure is a success. Now, ask me what the other hospitals don't have.
What else?
They don't have me. I won't let so much as a thermostat be at the wrong temperature when it comes time
for your operation.
The doctor nods.
Well, leadership is very important. I'll take that into consideration when I make my decision. Thank you, Dr. Bell.
Thank you.
Lizzie watches her go, then relaxes her shoulders and closes her eyes. Charlie climbs his porch steps at twilight and opens the front door. He finds his dad sitting on the sofa looking at a croquet set. Walter gazes at one of the balls in his hand. Charlie wrinkles his brow as he approaches.
What you doing, Dad?
Signed those papers you needed. Car insurance, a couple others.
He looks up.
Hope you don't mind, I didn't read them all.
Thanks.
Walter returns to the croquet set.
I can't believe you kept all of that.
We used to have so much fun playing after church.
He holds a mallet and Charlie sits down.
Yeah, we did.
Lizzie called. She invited us over to their house. I thought I'd teach Quinn how to play croquet.
Charlie smiles.
That sounds like a great idea.
Walter nods his head.
Understand if you don't want to come. It's not always fun seeing your boss in a social setting.
What are you talking about? Wouldn't miss it.
Walter looks at him and shrugs as he sets the mallet down. Quinn taps a croquet ball through the grass of her backyard as Walter looks on.
Good job! Let's go!
Lizzie and Charlie sit watching from the deck.
I can't tell you how great it is to see him like this. I miss the old Walter.
Oh, I knocked the wicket over.
By the way, who's Dr. Stadler?
She turns to him.
How did you find out about her?
Keep my ear to the ground. Sounds like she's a big deal.
Yeah, she's amazing. She developed this procedure for kidney transplants. Cuts recovery time by 80%, makes rejection risk almost non-existent. If her procedure is successful, the grant money alone.
Yeah, nothing in the hospital's cheap.
No, it isn't. It's not just that. When I became an administrator, it was my dream to build a housing wing for patients' families. So the money she'd bring in would make that possible.
Charlie studies her thoughtfully.
Who's winning?
I don't know.
Well, you better figure it out. Winner gets lemonade.
What's a loser get?
Lemonade. So the stakes are pretty high.
Tell Charlie he's invited too.
Who could pass that up?
Lizzie smiles and shrugs. They sit inside.
That little girl had you on the run.
My heart hasn't hit that many BPMs in a few decades.
You gotta use it or lose it, though, right, Doc?
Oh, I try not to weigh in on friends' medical issues. Here.
He raises his brow.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Well, in medicine, it's important to stay objective, and if you know the patient personally,
that
it makes it really
must
hard
be
to...
our little Beethoven now.
Charlie stands.
I was just kidding.
Lizzie frowns and he walks away. They join Quinn at the piano.
Good.
I still need more practice.
Walter sits on the bench.
Sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah.
How about you play something for us, Dad?
Walter looks up and blinks.
If you don't feel comfortable.
Oh, come on. You know the other half of Heart and Soul, right?
It's been a long time.
It's not been that long.
It's fine.
Nobody wants to hear me play anyway. But if you like, I'll listen. Maybe I can offer some pointers.
Lizzie turns to Charlie and motions for him to follow her.
Look, if he doesn't feel comfortable, he does not have to.
You haven't been living with us like I have. If I didn't push him, he wouldn't do anything. It's for his own good.
Well, he's grieving, you know, and that's just a process that takes time.
Yeah, but a little pain now for a lot less later. I mean, I'd want to be treated that way.
Well, have you thought about getting him some professional help? Someone who's not so close to the situation?
I've been down that road. Professional help, close or not, the real question is always, are they putting the patient first? Like family would.
She stares at him and he looks away.
I'm just gonna go get some more lemonade.
Lizzie stares thoughtfully as he goes. Walter sits on his porch as the sun sets over the water. Charlie climbs the porch steps.
Hey, Pops.
Long day.
Yeah. I snuck a nap in the on-call room after shift.
Smart choice.
Walter nods. Charlie looks down.
Look, I know you don't want to talk about this, but, we need to come up with a plan. My mom's ashes.
Walter looks away abruptly.
Didn't know you were in such a hurry.
It's been over a year. Something she wants us to do together. Dad, I have dropped everything in my life to get...
I didn't ask you to.
Charlie studies him and tilts his head.
Look, I know it's hard. But this isn't just for me. Right? It's for you, too.
Walter stares into the distance.
Lizzie and Quinn asked me to come over and make cupcakes for Quinn's rehearsal tomorrow. Quinn asked that you come, too, if you're interested.
Yeah, sounds good.
Charlie frowns and ambles inside with his hands in his pockets. The sun shines over the medical center. Lizzie sits working at her desk in the hospital.
This is Dr. Bowman.
Hello, this is Dr. Stadler calling.
Hi, Dr. Stadler.
I just finished my meeting at Sky Valley.
Sky Valley, that's, it's one of the best hospitals in the country.
It is, but they just didn't make the same impression you made.
Oh?
If your offer still stands, I'd love to perform my new procedure at your hospital.
Lizzie stares blankly with the phone at her ear.
Dr. Bowman?
Yes. Yes, the offer still stands. It would be our pleasure to have you.
Great. You'll be hearing from my team soon. I trust you'll start prepping things on your side?
To be honest, we already have.
Figured as much. Talk soon.
Yes, we will. Thank you so much.
She smiles widely and flops back in her chair. Then she lifts her arms and spins around. Felicia and Todd sit on a park bench.
Okay, you hear that one?
It's a warbler.
Pretty good. But what color is it?
Black and white.
They turn their heads.
That's amazing.
But you spend as much time in the air as I do. You make friends with the neighbors. Oh.
Todd reaches in his pocket. He holds up his phone.
Well, duty calls. Mwah. See you tonight.
Okay.
Right.
Bye.
Bye.
Felicia smiles at him. Charlie sits next to her and they watch Todd go.
He seems like a great guy.
Yeah, he is.
She turns to him.
I think he wants to make things more serious.
Oh, all right. Congratulations.
Thanks. I still haven't told Lizzie about us yet.
Why not?
Lizzie's always been so adamant about not mixing home and work, so.
Really? She has?
Big time. She leaves the grounds to take personal calls. She won't even deliver her own sister's baby. I don't know what she'd say about me dating somebody from the hospital.
Hi. I've been looking for you.
What's up?
Dr. Stadler called. She chose St. Carmen's for the procedure.
Oh, that's amazing!
I know!
They embrace.
Lizzie!
Congrats.
He smiles.
It's very exciting for the hospital. Oh, she needs the serial number for the helicopter for her paperwork.
Okay, I don't know it off the top of my head, but if you want to come up with me, we can get it.
Oh, it's okay. You can just get it and run it by my office.
Oh, that's right. You're afraid of heights.
Well, afraid is a very strong word, you know?
Well, why don't you just come up there with me, and then you'll know where to find it next time.
Her mouth twitches as she stares at him. Charlie sits in the helicopter.
Three.
She takes notes.
Tango, Foxtrot, Fiber.
Got it. Thank you.
Hey, slow down.
She steps back.
You've been up, right?
No. It's fine by me.
There's nothing dangerous about flying. I mean, especially with me.
You know, I'll have you know that acrophobia is very normal and common.
There's nothing common about you.
He holds her gaze.
Come on. Let's take a quick spin.
It's the middle of the day.
He tilts his head.
What if a call comes in?
Yeah.
He slips on his headset.
Marcus. Go for flight control. Hey, I want to take Dr. Bowman up for no more than an hour. Are we clear?
All good. Out of town is double staff. They can cover.
Says we're good.
She bites her lip and looks away.
Listen, anytime that you go and you get uncomfortable, we'll come right back down.
She wrinkles her nose.
I promise.
She looks up. The propellers spin overhead. He helps her with her headset.
Hey, front. There you go. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Don't have to yell. And I don't have a crash cart, so I'm going to need you to breathe, okay?
If my phone rings, will I be able to hear it over the propeller?
No.
They raise up. The helicopter lifts into the clear skies. It flies over the city. Lizzie sits in the passenger seat with her eyes tightly closed.
Really should look out the window. You're missing all the fun.
Having a lot of fun, thank you.
He smiles. He gestures below.
My dad's house over there.
She nods stiffly.
Which one to see?
She cranes her neck and looks over her nose. She leans forward slightly.
Yep, I think I prefer the view from the ground.
His plane sits at the dock below. She closes her eyes and he smiles.
Can't wait to take him skydiving.
She grins.
Thought you said one step at a time.
Actually, I'm partial to giant leaps.
I've noticed.
They fly along the shoreline. Lizzie's neck is rigid as she continues looking over her nose at the view. She glimpses Charlie's hand on the controls.
What are you doing?
He looks at her and chuckles softly. They land near a wooded area. She looks back at the helicopter as they approach a walking path.
Gives you a different perspective, right?
Huh?
Flying like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, literally.
He holds a small bottle.
Look what Quinn gave me.
I gave her those.
They share a glance.
She regifted me.
Well, I will not let her kindness be wasted.
He dips in a wand and blows bubbles as they walk. Lizzie watches him and smiles softly.
How was the rehearsal?
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah, cupcakes were a hit, thanks to you and your dad. She was very excited to share.
Charlie turns to look at her.
Always been very giving. I guess every parent says that about their kid.
Yes, they do. But Quinn is different. She's a pretty special kid.
Yeah.
They stop and face each other.
When she got sick, I thought it was the flu. I thought, I'm a doctor. I know what the flu looks like. And when she didn't get better, I finally took her in. Her blood sugar levels were... almost lost her.
He lowers his head.
People make mistakes. You can't.
No. I couldn't be objective. Would I have made that mistake with someone else's kid?
He raises his eyebrows.
It's just between her dad leaving and the insulin. She's had to deal with so much adult stuff already.
She looks up at him.
It's not fair, you know?
No, it's not. It's not fair at all.
She studies him as he looks away.
My mom passed while I was deployed, and I just needed to be somewhere else.
Can't imagine how hard that was.
He turns his head and blinks.
You know, in Alaska, they have all these little towns that are completely surrounded by wilderness. No roads. And I got this buddy, Paul, who flies in supplies. He's got this squad of bush pilots. It's just...
sounds isolated.
They stroll.
Actually, it's the opposite. It's funny, no matter how far apart people get, they still find a way to connect.
He gazes at her.
I know what you mean.
They share a lingering glance.
I know that you do. But you know what? I want to show you something. Come here.
She smiles gently and follows him. They walk slowly along a marsh, then stop to take in the horizon. He stares thoughtfully ahead as she turns to look at him.
You okay?
Yeah.
He smiles softly under her gaze.
My mom and dad used to come here.
She nods gently and they stand side by side facing the horizon. The helicopter sits on the roof. They stroll a hallway.
See, it wasn't that bad, right? Flying?
I was only petrified half the time.
Half? That's progress.
Well, you may have had a calming effect.
Well, human Dramamine. At your service.
Infants lay in the nursery.
You used to do this, right? Didn't you deliver babies?
Yeah.
Wow.
Every day.
You know, if you loved it so much, how come you became an administrator?
As an OB, I was on call. All the time. And when Quinn's dad and I got divorced, I went to the board and asked to be moved to administration so I could spend more time with her and still do what I love.
He smiles at her.
Quinn is lucky to have you.
She beams and they share a glance.
Thanks. It's funny.
I've never been nervous for a delivery, but with my sister, if I was her doctor and something went wrong, I would never be able to forgive myself.
It's a risk she's willing to take, though, right?
She glares at him.
Ah, I know. Home and hospital. Never the two shall be.
They smile and share a lingering glance. Walter sits at the table, papers scattered before him. Charlie walks in holding eyeglasses.
Found them.
Oh, where were they?
Laundry room.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
What you got going on here?
Thought I'd give Quinn some pointers on reading sheet music.
That's a nice thing to do.
I'm enjoying it.
Charlie pulls up a chair.
I took Lizzie up in the helicopter today.
Thought she was afraid of heights.
He shrugs.
There's not much she can't do when she puts her mind to it.
Walter nods his head.
I took her out to your spot. The one you used to take Mom to.
Walter lowers his gaze and swallows.
Beautiful view of the water there.
Yeah, it is.
He studies his dad.
I miss her too, Dad.
Their eyes water and Walter nods gently. The sun rises over the water. Lizzie leans on a hospital counter.
Hey.
You help when Dr. Sadler gets settled in, okay?
Actually, there's been a small hiccup on that front.
What?
Well, we don't have an EMS pilot after today.
What about Charlie?
You forgot?
Forgot what? Oh! Today's the last day of his probationary period.
He is off today. I could go...
No. I'll go talk to him.
Okay.
Thanks.
Charlie peeks out the window and opens the door. Lizzie stands smiling.
Hi.
Come on in.
She walks past him and eyes boxes on the coffee table.
Mm. What's all this?
Well, my mom, she used to do all the bookkeeping, so to speak. So she was the signatory on their paperwork, and when my dad wouldn't return their calls, they started calling me.
And that's why you came home?
Partly. I got most of this worked out. And then there's this one other thing that my dad and I have to do together, but I don't think he's quite ready for it yet.
Okay, so when you're done with all of that, then what?
Well, I don't know. There's not much keeping me here, is there?
He looks into her eyes. She shifts her gaze, then looks up at him.
What if you stayed a little bit longer? Look, I know I forgot about your probationary period and we really need a pilot on staff.
Well, I've never been anyone's long-term solution, right?
Or Dr. Stadler goes to another hospital.
He nods his head.
And it seems like your dad is still struggling. Sure, it's nice to have family around.
Honestly, I think he'd just rather hang out with you and Quinn. I think I just make things worse.
That is not true.
So, you only want me to stay for Dr. Stadler? That's it?
Her lips twitch into a smile.
Just a few more days. Till we're done with the procedure.
He grins.
Okay, boss. You can count on me.
Thank you.
They share a smile.
I'll let you get back to it.
He keeps smiling as she exits. Lizzie sits with the group in a hospital meeting space.
I have an operating room on standby. As soon as the tissue becomes available, the theater's yours.
And my patient?
Arrived today. He's in a room just next to the OR.
You're the pilot.
Guilty.
You understand what's at stake.
Charlie is more than capable.
I have flown evacs from hot zones, touch and goes, invasive maneuvers through anti-aircraft fire. I'm pretty familiar with high-stakes flying.
For my procedure, we'll have a tight window for the tissue to still be viable. Every second counts.
When the call comes in, I will be airborne in under 5 minutes.
There's a storm coming. High winds. Our helicopter's already a little big for our pad.
And if it's too windy to land?
We have a backup hangar 20 miles away.
20 miles? City traffic, that's another 30 minutes, maybe more.
Won't be an issue. I'll land on the pad.
They stare solemnly at him.
You sure?
Charlie nods.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, if you don't make it back in time, we'll do a normal transplant. It's taken months to find a suitable candidate. I won't risk the reputation of my procedure if conditions are not perfect.
Understood.
Copy that.
Lizzie and Charlie share a park bench.
Hey, cheers, by the way.
He holds a sandwich.
Clink.
What are we cheersing to?
To St. Carmen's being HQ for that fancy pants Dr. Stadler's new operation.
Well, she hasn't done the operation yet.
What's wrong with you? You have such a hard time letting yourself be happy.
She studies him as she chews.
I've had a lot of practice managing expectations.
Mercy, I hate that. You shouldn't have to manage your expectations. You deserve everything you want.
Thank you.
Of course. My friend up in Alaska gave me a call. Got an opening for pilot.
Oh.
He nods once.
Congratulations. I mean, it's what you wanted, right?
Yeah, it's what I wanted.
She nods and lowers her gaze.
But, you'll stay through the surgery, though?
Of course.
Great.
She stands quickly, leaves.
Okay.
Lizzie.
No. It's fine. Like you said, you're no one's long-term solution.
He scowls.
After the surgery, we'll look for your replacement. Bye.
He squints as he watches her go. Lizzie's mom stands at the door studying the dark sky. Lizzie sits on the sofa.
Ooh, weather's coming in. I need to clean those gutters tomorrow.
Oh, Mom, please let somebody help you with that this time.
Stop. These knees may be getting a little cranky, but I can still climb an 8-foot ladder. Thank you very much.
Lizzie attempts a smile.
Okay. What's up?
I think Charlie's leaving after Dr. Stadler's procedure.
Oh, Lizzie. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's kind of expected. It's just Quinn is really taken to him.
And?
She smiles.
And what?
And maybe you're a little taken with the dashing young pilot yourself? Just a little?
She shifts on the sofa to face her.
Why didn't you remarry after you and Dad got divorced?
Where'd that come from?
I mean, was it life was too hectic? Was it me and Barb?
I just waited. And I just didn't look that hard.
Why are you asking me that now? Luke. I know he loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he loves Quinn so much. But he was always moving around and he was just never there when we needed him the most.
Wait, you're not regretting you got divorced, are you?
No, nothing like that.
She looks up in thought.
It's just with Charlie.
Yeah?
With Charlie, I see that same fear of standing still. And I wonder, I just don't want to bring another man into Quinn's life who's going to leave again.
Sweetheart, don't let fear keep you from being happy.
Lizzie slowly nods as her mom pats her hand.
Okay, Mom.
She smiles. Quinn, Lizzie, Walter, and Charlie play dominoes on the porch.
All right, sweetie, it's your turn.
Charlie gestures as Quinn makes her move. She follows his gesture and smiles as he gives her a thumbs up.
25 points. Nicely done.
Hey, you have your piano recital coming up, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Are you nervous?
A little bit.
Oh, you have nothing to worry about. You're going to be great.
Quinn tilts her head and grins. Lizzie looks at her phone.
Sorry, I gotta take this. Hey, Felicia.
Don't worry, she's gonna be okay.
Who's gonna be okay?
I assume she called you first.
What are you talking about?
Your mom. She's in the emergency room.
What?
An ambulance sits at the hospital entrance. Virginia sits up in bed as Lizzie approaches her room.
Oh, no.
Mom, what happened? Are you okay?
She sits on the edge of the bed.
No parent should ever have to hear their child say, I told you so.
Lizzie nods her head.
You clean the gutters.
That ladder is not as sturdy as you think.
Is it broken?
The ladder's fine.
Your hand, Mom.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they called it a radar fracture.
A radius fracture.
I'm fine. But what this means is that I can't play in Quinn's recital now.
Lizzie frowns. Virginia cries.
I'm just so mad at myself.
No. Look, the most important thing is that you are okay.
Quinn watches Charlie.
Fold this over like that. And this over like that. And voila, you've got an airplane.
Wow.
Chuck it.
It hits the wall.
Ha. It flew.
You know what? My dad and I used to make these all the time. And if you catch the wind just right, they will fly forever.
Let's make another one.
Let's do this. Great idea. Remember.
Well, she was cleaning out her gutters, and she fell off the ladder. And she broke her wrist.
Oh, no.
I know.
Is she going to be okay?
She is going to be just fine. But she's not going to be able to play your piano recital.
Quinn frowns.
I know, sweetie. I'm so sorry. I know how hard you practiced.
What about Walter? He knows Nana's part. He could play.
Well, you know, Walter hasn't played the piano in a long time.
You know what? He'll do it.
Charlie.
No, he'll do it.
Here you are. The call just came in. They found a kidney.
Lizzie turns to Charlie. They study a monitor.
The kidney's in Bamford. That's a 3-hour round trip.
3 hours is pushing our timeline.
By then, we'll be in the middle of a squall. The helipad's a tight fit, even in the best conditions.
Just be ready for me.
Lizzie follows Charlie out.
Hey, Charlie.
He stops and turns.
Please be careful.
He grins.
Come on. This isn't half as dangerous as cleaning gutters.
She clenches her jaw as she watches him go. Lizzie steps into the daycare. She looks around the empty room.
Quinn?
A man stands behind her holding Quinn.
Where'd they go?
Gotcha. Oh, Luke.
Hey, Lizzie.
Daddy's here.
Hi. Well, yeah, I see that.
Well, I'm sorry for popping in, but I just wanted it to be a surprise.
Well, you surprised me.
Hey, she said something happened to your mom. Is everything okay?
Oh, yeah. She's going to be fine. Thanks for asking.
Good. I'd love to stick around and help, but I have to go to Italy for work. And it's this last second thing. I just came to say goodbye.
Quinn rests her head on Lizzie's shoulder and Luke smiles. Thick clouds hover over the hospital roof as Charlie gets in the helicopter and begins flipping switches. He speaks into the headset.
Hey, that storm had slowed down, Eddie. You need to be quick. Yeah, well, I'll flap my arms as fast as I can.
The blades spin against the gray sky. Luke spins Quinn in the hospital lobby, then lets her go.
You know how much I love you.
How much?
What is the biggest number you can think of?
100?
Well, I love you more than 100.
She beams.
You're coming to my piano recital, right?
I'll try.
Lizzie frowns.
I'll try.
Hi, Luke.
Hey, Felicia, right?
She smiles smugly.
Have we heard from Charlie? He just flew over Chatterton.
So you're doing flying in this one.
Lizzie scowls.
Lizzie, if you'd like to take Quinn home, I'm happy to hold down the fort for a while.
Okay, great. Hey, you're going to go with Felicia, and I'm going to talk to Dad for a second, okay?
Bye, sweetie.
Come on, kiddo.
Lizzie turns to Luke.
You'll try.
Liz.
She's 5 years old. When you say you'll try, she believes you because she doesn't know you the way that I do.
Liz, there'll be more recitals. Okay, it'll work out.
You know what? It doesn't just work out. Messes don't just disappear because someone always has to clean them up.
That's not what I meant.
What did you mean?
He stares blankly and opens his mouth as she turns away scowling. Lizzie sits at Walter's kitchen table.
Well, Charlie is doing soon, so I have to get back to the hospital, but I will be back as soon as possible to get her when we're done.
Long as you need.
Thank you.
He lowers his head.
Guessing Quinn asked you to play the recital.
His lips tighten as he nods.
Walter, if you're not ready, you don't have to. I will understand. Quinn will understand.
They both nod softly.
It's okay. Really.
He gives a small smile.
When I was a young man, I used to play piano in an old bar. One night, this beautiful woman comes floating in. Now, I'm finishing up, and she comes over and asks me to play a song. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. So I fat-fingered my way through what I can remember, and I'm sure I'm bombing. And she asked me to play it again.
Lizzie smiles.
And again. And again. And from then on, whenever she asked, I played it.
His eyes water.
At our wedding. When Charlie came home from the hospital.
He stares out the window.
Then she asked me to play it at her funeral.
He clenches his jaw. Lizzie's face crumples. She bites her lip.
And for the first time, I didn't play it when she asked.
She blinks away tears and gently nods.
I'll play Quinn's recital. You have my word.
Lizzie wipes a tear from her cheek. She reaches across the table for Walter's hand. The helicopter sways in stormy skies as rain pours over its windows. Charlie glances at the cooler strapped next to him. Sign, human organ transplant. Please handle with care. He scowls at the rain-drenched windshield. Lizzie studies the operating room schedule as Felicia approaches.
If when Charlie gets back, Dr. Stadler's going to be in surgery for hours, and then there's post-op.
Everything's ready, just like you asked.
No, it's, Quinn has her piano recital tomorrow, so I'm not going to be able to oversee all of post-op. So I'm counting on you.
Felicia's eyes widen.
You can do it. I trust you. All right, I'm going to get a little shut-eye.
She smiles gently as Lizzie steps away. Lizzie opens the door to the on-call room, then curls up on the bed and closes her eyes. She frowns, opens her eyes, then reaches under the pillow. She pulls out Charlie's bottle of bubbles and smiles. Rain pours outside the hospital under dark skies. Lightning flashes as Lizzie strides down a hallway toward Marcus.
Hey.
Wind's really starting to kick up.
Is it safe to land?
Safe? No. Possible?
He scowls.
Could it put our other patients at risk?
Helicopters don't crash pretty.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this. If I trust anybody to land in this mess, it's Charlie.
He turns to her and she nods.
Okay.
Lights illuminate the helipad.
Excuse me.
She turns to the doctor.
Well, we're still on the timetable you set for us.
Barely, but if he has to land at the hangar...
We'll do a standard transplant. The patient comes first. I know, you've waited a long time for a suitable candidate.
No, you're right.
Flight control, copy.
Marcus grabs the radio.
Let's go for flight control.
A little soupy up here, flight control.
Soupy, more like clam chowder.
I'm about 2 minutes out. Am I clear to land?
You sure about this trolley?
Am I clear to land?
He looks at Lizzie.
What do you think?
No.
Tell him to land at the hangar.
You do not have permission to land, I repeat. You do not have permission.
Charlie shakes his head.
I can do this.
Sorry, Charlie, look, it's a no-go. Make sure you have a clear air path to land in the hangar, okay?
I'm telling you, Marcus, I can do this.
Charlie, look.
Charlie?
Lizzie?
I know you want to pull through for us, okay? But I can't let you do this.
No offense, boss, but I got a lot more experience flying than you do.
It's too dangerous.
You let me worry about that.
I'm in charge, it's my call, and I'm telling you to land at the hangar.
He glances at the helipad below.
I'm coming in for a landing.
What?
Have some white jackets here to take the package.
Charlie, do not do this.
I'm gonna get off comms, time to concentrate.
She throws her hands up. Dr. Stadler purses her lips. Rain pours as Charlie hovers over the illuminated pad. He jostles in the cockpit. They watch from the window.
There he is, there he is, there he is.
Charlie wrestles the landing controls. He grimaces and shakes his head. The helicopter lifts again.
Wait. What is he doing?
He's trying a new angle.
No. Come on. Give me the radio again.
Unless you're going to talk about it, all you're going to do is distract
me. Lizzie's mouth gapes. Charlie approaches the pad again. Lizzie holds a hand to her forehead.
This is deep.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The tail of the helicopter swivels as it lands. Charlie jerks in the cockpit. It shakily touches the helipad. Charlie frowns. The helicopter rights itself and Charlie sighs. Lizzie turns away.
All right. He did it, okay.
Dr. Stadler smiles and hugs Marcus. Lizzie stands to the side. Her face is pale and she stares into the distance. She breathes deeply and closes her eyes. Charlie races down the hall toward Dr. Stadler. He holds the cooler.
I may have had better landings in my day, but I believe this is yours.
Thanks. Hope you're as good at groveling as you are at flying.
What's that mean?
He turns to see Lizzie scowling with her arms crossed.
See that? No sweat.
She marches closer, holding his gaze.
That was one of the most selfish things I have ever seen.
Well, it wasn't exactly a field of daisies for me either.
I am responsible for the lives of every single person in this hospital.
You don't have the experience to make that call.
What if it would have spun out of control and hit the side of the building? What if something would have happened to you? You were thinking of no one but yourself.
I was thinking about you.
He stares at her with wide eyes, then frowns.
I know how much this procedure means to the hospital. I know how much this means to you. I knew I could land that helicopter. Was it dangerous? Yeah. Flying a helicopter's dangerous. But everything worked out.
She purses her lips and slowly nods.
You're fired.
Lizzie.
She storms past him. His eyes redden as she goes. She marches past Felicia.
Hey, I heard Dr. Stadler made it into surgery.
She keeps walking.
Lizzie?
She steps into the downpour. She pulls her blazer around her waist and runs to her car. She gets in, runs her hands through her soaked hair and sobs. She holds her hand over her mouth and leans back into the seat. At home, Lizzie dries her hair with a towel and runs her hands over her face. She moves down a hallway toward Gwen's bedroom.
Gwen? Where are you, sweetie?
She steps inside and looks around.
Quinny?
She spies the Find a Friend book on her desk. She sits down and picks it up. Mission, find a friend. She flips it open to a drawing of her and frowns. Text, find mom a friend. Another drawing reveals mom and a friend holding hands. The next page, mom is a hero. She saves people and she loves me.
Mommy, you weren't supposed to see that yet.
Oh, sweetie, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. Here, come here.
She lifts Quinn onto her lap and caresses her forehead. Their cheeks touch.
I want you to know that it is not your job to find mom a friend, okay? You should never, ever, ever have to worry about that.
I know. I just want to get you something for Mother's Day.
Lizzie's face crumples. She rocks Quinn gently in her arms as she blinks away tears. Walter sits at home at his piano as the morning sun shines through the windows. He turns and sees Charlie sitting on a bench next to the water. He stands to take a closer look, then steps toward the door. Charlie squints into the distance as Walter approaches and sits next to him. Walter rests his hands on his knees and looks around.
Maybe now that Lizzie's had a chance to cool down.
Charlie's shoulders sag and he shifts in his seat. He glances at Walter.
Let me find Dad. Don't you start worrying about me now.
All right,
That is enough. Once the funeral was over, you barely stuck around for a cup of coffee before you were off. So I've heard quite enough about poor Charlie and everything he sacrificed for his poor, pitiful father. I've had it.
Charlie frowns.
You didn't tell me.
His eyes water.
You didn't tell me how sick she was.
We thought you had enough to worry about.
Enough to worry about? I never got to say goodbye. When I got back, I wasn't in a good place. I was angry. Specifically at you.
Walter closes his eyes.
So I took some time to clear my head. And maybe that was a mistake, but I'm here now. I'm trying to make it right, and all I'm asking is for you to meet me in the middle, and you can't even do that.
Walter lifts his chin and lowers his eyes. He swallows.
Charlie, I know I haven't been there for you the way I should. But every time I look at you, I see her. And it reminds me that she's gone all over again.
Charlie dabs his eye with his finger.
You lost your wife? But I lost my mom.
Walter's eyes fill with tears. Charlie nods and lowers his head.
I lost her too.
Walter scoots closer and rests his hand on Charlie's shoulder.
Charlie, I'm sorry.
He brings his arm around him as Charlie blinks away his tears and they continue looking toward the placid water. Sign, theater. Lizzie fixes Gwen's hair.
My tummy feels all funny.
Well, there are a lot of people here. You just have some butterflies, that's all.
Butterflies?
Yeah. So that feeling in your tummy, those are butterflies taking flight. It happens when you really care about something.
Lizzie smiles at her in the mirror.
You're gonna do great.
Okay.
A young girl plays a flute on the stage beneath strings of white lights. Charlie creeps into the dark theater and takes a seat. Lizzie, Virginia and Quinn huddle backstage. Virginia glances around. The young flutist takes a bow.
Can we stall? I wish. Honey, if he doesn't give your zone.
Where's Walter, Mommy?
Oh. I know. Are you sure you can't play with one hand?
I wish, yeah. Honey. Okay.
Lizzie kneels.
Hi. I know that you practiced really, really, really hard for this, and I am so sorry.
I should be the one. I'm sorry. I apologize for running late. We still have a spot.
Yes, you're next.
Can I tell you a secret? I am nervous.
You have butterflies.
Yes. 1,000 beating wings.
That just means you care.
He smiles.
Oh, that's your cue. Go knock him dead, kiddo.
They walk to the piano holding hands. Quinn plays first. Lizzie stands with her hands clasped at her chest. Walter looks around. He sees Charlie in the audience. His hands rest on the keys. He glances at Quinn and smiles. Charlie blinks away tears. Virginia gasps and Lizzie smiles. Lizzie's sister sits smiling in the audience. Loop beams. Their hands move side by side over the keys. Quinn turns to the crowd. The audience stands. Walter and Quinn move to the edge of the stage and take a bow. Luke grins widely. Charlie smiles. Quinn runs to Luke.
Daddy!
He scoops her up.
That was incredible!
He hands her flowers.
For you, Maestro.
Glad you came.
Yeah, well, next time I say I'll try, I'll mean it.
They smile.
Oh, I got one more thing for you. Hold on. Here we go.
Lizzie sees Charlie.
You know what? I'll hold this while you open your card, and I'll be right back, okay? Okay.
It's a Hallmark card.
It's one more. All right.
Thanks, Dad.
Come here. Love you.
Lizzie shrugs as she approaches Charlie.
She was really great.
Yeah. Walter was great, too.
He was, right? The talent just skip our generation.
We have other strengths?
Maybe.
She smiles.
I called my friend up in Alaska, and he said that pilot job is mine if I still want it. I'm flying out tomorrow.
Her smile fades.
I'm really happy for you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
They share a hug with their eyes open and searching over each other's shoulder. He lets her go and lowers his gaze. She smiles and tilts her head.
You be safe.
You know me. I'm as safe as they come.
Her smile fades as he turns away. Walter stands outside staring into the distance as Charlie approaches.
Dad?
Walter tightens his jaw.
I'm ready.
Charlie rests a hand on his shoulder. Lizzie's family gathers on her deck.
Oh, this is for you.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, here you go.
Oh.
She holds a framed photo.
All the Bowman women.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. We love you.
And happy Mother's Day to you and you, yes. Your first.
Virginia beams at her daughters. Walter and Charlie stand on their backyard pier. Walter holds an ornately engraved urn. Charlie watches him study it.
I've done you a dishonor after you passed my honey, dear. You were so full of life. You never would have wanted me to stop living. You have a promise. A promise from the bottom of my heart. I will live and... I will love you forever.
Charlie purses his lips and blinks. Walter lifts the cap and hands it to Charlie. He pours the ashes into the water. Charlie rests his arm over Walter's shoulder. They stand in silhouette as the sun reflects on the rippling water. Lizzie stands in her kitchen.
Have some tea. Oh,
she was due 2 days ago. You don't think that there's...
No, completely normal.
She pats her sister's belly and smiles.
You know why I've been bothering you with all this baby stuff?
You want me to be your doctor.
Yes. Okay. I know you became an administrator so you could be there more for Quinn. But I can tell you miss being an OBGYN too. So I thought, helping me, I don't know, you could get that feeling again.
That is so sweet.
Thank you. You're my big sister. It's the least I could do. And I think, for the record, I'm the nice sister.
Yeah. Okay.
And as the nice sister, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that you were crazy for letting Charlie go.
Well,
I'm just saying, you're going to regret it.
Well, you know what? He was the one that decided to take the job in Alaska.
And did you ask him to stay?
Not me. So many words. How many words did you use?
She sets down her mug.
When he was coming in for a landing, I had to make a choice. What's best for the hospital over my feelings for him? And this is the exact situation that I was wanting to avoid.
You think you made the wrong decision?
No. And he ignored me anyway.
Sounds like a risk he was willing to take.
She steps back.
I need more money.
Her sister winces.
Oh.
You know what? I have to think about Quinn, too. I mean, you know, he's a pilot. What if something happens? I mean, with everything that she's been through, you know?
She leans over.
Okay. Yep. Yep. It's time. All right.
Okay, here we go.
Breathe. All right? We're going to get to the hospital. You're good.
Barbara waits in a delivery room as Lizzie arrives and scrubs.
How's she doing?
She's doing great.
Felicia looks at Lizzie's clothes.
Are you gonna...
She's family. Least I can do is deliver her baby.
She sets down her phone and keys and washes her hands.
I put up boundaries between home and work to protect the ones that I love. Turns out, the only one I was protecting was myself.
She studies Felicia.
I know about you and Todd.
Felicia drops her head and smiles.
I was gonna tell you,
He's a great guy. And you two, you make a really cute couple. But if he breaks your heart, I know a few orthopedic surgeons that break bones for a living.
Thanks, Lizzie.
She grins.
Yeah.
Charlie loads luggage on his plane. Lizzie steps into the delivery room.
Okay, Barb. You guys ready to get the show on the road?
Yeah.
You're doing great.
Thanks.
Charlie takes his phone from his pocket and frowns as he brings it to his ear. Lizzie's phone buzzes. Charlie Allen.
Hi, you've reached Lizzie Bowman. Sorry I couldn't pick up, but if you leave me a message, I will call you back.
He grimaces and makes his way toward the plane. Barbara and Hank cradle their newborn.
Oh, hi, baby.
Barb looks up.
Thank you, Lizzie. I mean, I did do most of the work. Thank you.
Yes, you did.
I know. I'll give you guys some time.
Okay.
Barb smiles.
Say hi, Daddy.
Lizzie turns to watch them and smiles softly. She picks up her phone and sees the alert, Charlie Allen, one missed call. She walks back to the room and holds up her phone.
What is it?
Charlie called.
I thought you said he was going to Alaska today.
He was supposed to be.
Go get him.
Lizzie shakes her head.
You just had a baby. So? I'm fine. Look, you're fired. You're no longer my doctor. Go get him.
Okay.
Go.
She races out. She holds her phone to her ear as she walks toward her car.
Come on, pick up.
Charlie wears his headset as he straps into his plane. His phone vibrates on the seat next to him while he flips switches. The propeller begins to turn.
Hey, Charlie, it's Lizzie. You've probably already left. But, maybe you haven't left, and if you haven't left, then, please don't leave, not until I tell you what I have to say. You know what? Never mind. This is just a waste of time.
She reaches for her seatbelt. Charlie begins takeoff. The plane glides on the water. Walter plays the piano. He closes his eyes. A photo of him with his wife rests on the back of the piano. He looks toward his phone alert, Lizzie.
Lizzie? You're hard to hear.
He smiles. The plane continues gliding on the water. Walter races out the front door. He dashes down the stairs toward the water.
Charlie!
Charlie!
Charlie spots him standing on the shore waving his arms.
Charlie!
He holds up a finger and mouths, "Wait a minute." He returns to the dock. Walter smiles. Charlie lifts his arms as he runs toward him.
So, are you okay?
Everything's fine. Yeah, it's good. It's good. I think you forgot something.
Charlie looks over Walter's shoulder and sees Lizzie approaching. They both smile. Walter looks at Charlie and nods his head. Lizzie steps closer and rests her hand on Walter's back.
Sure, you two have plenty to talk about.
He leans to Lizzie.
Hope you have a good speech.
Charlie smiles as she steps closer. She turns her head toward Walter.
Your dad is a good man.
He grins.
He does have his moments.
She looks into his eyes.
You know, the first time I met you, I thought I was going to hate you.
That's not how I expected
you're
this.
You're cavalier. Impulsive. You have an almost terrifying hero complex.
This isn't getting any better.
And yet, every time I'm with you, every time I think about you, I get butterflies.
His eyes water.
It means that I care about you so much.
She places her hand on her chest.
I was so closed off for so long that my daughter had to make it her own personal mission to find me a friend.
He smiles through teary eyes.
Well, mission accomplished.
She gazes longingly at him.
I don't want to separate my life into boxes anymore. I want to live one life with you.
He stares at her and bites his lip.
Please stay.
Her eyes water. His shoulders relax and they share a lingering gaze. He leans forward, places one hand on her waist, the other on her neck, and pulls her closer for a kiss. She caresses his face with her hand as the kiss deepens. She looks into his eyes as they break apart.
Was that the answer you're hoping for?
She smiles and shrugs.
I decided to stop managing my expectations.
Good.
Yeah.
They embrace and turn to face the water, where the plane waits on the dock. She rests her head on his shoulder.
You know, she has a full tank of gas.
Mm-hmm.
You up for it?
Yeah. I'm up for it.
They kiss again, leaning into one another on the shore, the benches and house behind them. Lizzie takes Charlie's hand and leads him toward the water, where the plane awaits them at the dock.